And that text is printed on the back of your bulletin, so I encourage you to refer to it as we take a brief look at God's Word this morning. Let me begin by throwing this out there. The death of a child is one of the greatest agonies possible in this life, isn't it? Perhaps some of you have experienced it. It's a burying of a part of yourself. Someone has said it's a period before the end of a sentence. It's the death of a future. And it's a burden that all parents fear. Well, it was this such untimely pain that the emotional context, which was the emotional context of the ministry event that took place in the text that we want to look at this morning. Luke chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. Not long after that, that being the healing of the centurion's servant, Jesus went to the village called Nain. His disciples were with him, along with quite a large crowd. As they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial, and the mother was a widow. Upon entering the village of Nain, Jesus and his band of disciples encountered an unexpected display of sorrow. A funeral byre, which was an open coffin, stood directly in Jesus' path. The coffin was surrounded by professional mourners who were leading a large, wailing crowd, probably included Rich. There were flutes and cymbals and frenzied cries. The cries were especially deafening because of the loud mourning associated with the death of an only child. And leading this procession was a pathetic figure of a woman. Without the company of a husband, or as far as we can tell, the company of children. You see, the tear-drenched woman was a widow. And the pale young corpse was her only son. She was alone. She was without a provider or a protector. Tomorrow she would awake by herself, brokenhearted, without the sustaining footfall and sounds of her beloved son. Well, as the bereaved woman stumbled toward the burial ground, she had no hint, she had no idea of what incredible things were about to happen. She had no hint of the incredible miracle that was awaiting her. Look at verse 13. When Jesus saw her, what happened? His heart broke. Think of it. His heart went out to her in total, complete compassion. Luke uses the strongest word possible here to describe Jesus' pity. The root word from which it comes refers to what is on the inside, the heart, the liver, the lungs, in other words, all the innards. Carrying the meaning, Jesus' emotion had a physical effect. You see, he felt for her. He had a deep, abiding compassion. Now, we need to take note that this was typical of Jesus. You remember at a similar occasion when Jesus saw Mary and Martha weeping for their brother Lazarus. Jesus, the scripture says, was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. The wording here indicated that Jesus let out an involuntary gasp. In other words, the breath went out of him. The Lord gave way to such distress of spirit that his body trembled. He felt for the two sisters, so much so that he had a physical reaction. And his convulsive feeling gave way to tears. You remember the text continues, and Jesus wept. Well, in the same way, when he saw the widow of Nain, our Lord was again inwardly convulsed with compassion. His heart broke. Now, I want us to stop here just for a moment. And I want to suggest that our Lord Jesus has a heart that really is big enough for all of our sorrows. I think it's fair to say the students came to that understanding in a very powerful way while we were at Daytona Beach. Because while some of the sharing had to do with just a lot of fun, cool stuff, there was also some sharing that was rooted in some deep, deep pain. And God was reaching out to them. Because God has a heart that is big enough for all of our sorrows. His compassion, His empathy is real. The prophet tells us His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness, O God. Friends, maybe you have a hurt this morning so great that you can't even speak of it. It has left you speechless. Friends, you need to understand that Jesus knows your pain. He understands it completely and sympathetically. Not hindered by personal limitations, His great compassionate heart goes out to you. He feels for you just as He felt for that widow at Nain. And not only did Jesus' heart go out to her, but also His soothing words. Look at what He said to her next. He said, "Don't cry. Don't cry." Now, He wasn't telling her to suppress her emotion. He wasn't saying, "Okay, lady, chin up. Don't be a baby." No. Rather, He was expressing His genuine caring for her. And He was actually hinting at the miracle that was about to occur in her life. Moved by her tears, He gave her the gentle imperative, "Don't go on crying." And that imperative was the prelude for what He was about to do. Look at verse 14. "Then Jesus went over and touched the coffin, and the pallbearers did what? They stopped." Think of it. His touch stopped everything, forcing a riveting silence. Life and death stood face to face. Silence was in the air. And that silence was broken by Jesus' simple command. He said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." Now, oftentimes when Jesus performed miracles, He would add other specific actions to go along with the healing. For example, when He healed the 10 lepers, you remember that He told them to show themselves to the priests, and as they were going, what happened? As they were going, they were cleansed. They were healed from their leprosy. But here, when He is raising someone from the dead, all He uses is His word. When He rose Lazarus from the dead, all He did was speak. The reason for that was because He wanted everyone to see that resurrection power rested only in Him. All He needed to do was give the command, "Get up." Well, the young man heard the Lord's voice and he obeyed. Verse 15 says, "The dead son sat up and began talking, and Jesus presented him to his mother. The gray, cold clay of his face flushed with color. His fixed, dilated eyes twitched and focused on the blue sky. He blinked, sat up in his shroud, and he began to talk. "Mom, what's wrong?" You look horrible. Who are all these people? I'm hungry. We don't know what he said. But the fact that he spoke in response to the Lord's command leads me to this most incredible thought. The voice that raised that poor babbling young man from his coffin will one day be trumpeted into the depths of the sea, into the roots of the mountains, into the dispersed dust and lost molecules of God's physically dead children, and all who know Christ will hear it, and they will rise up. That is amazing. Jesus will say the word, "Get up," and his children everywhere will rise. What a wonderful story. For not only does our Lord have awesome compassion, he has awesome power to minister to our deepest, deepest needs. All he has to do is say, "Get up," and all the dead will rise. And you know what? That very same power is available to you and to me today. Jesus can meet us in every trial that we may encounter. That's what the students discovered in Daytona Beach. That regardless of what they are experiencing, God will meet them in their sorrow. God will meet them in their need. And God will surround them with people that will express his love and grace upon them. But you know, more than that, some of our students experienced this. Though we are dead in our sins, Jesus can make us alive. You see, that's what we celebrated Thursday afternoon in the ocean. We celebrated that through his death, burial, and resurrection, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, we too, though dead in our sins, are made alive. So when they go under the water, that symbolizes their death to the old self. But then when they come back up, that represents the new life that is theirs because of their faith in Christ. And believe you me, there was a lot of hoopla going on, a lot of splashing, a lot of fun and joy after each student came back up out of the water. But that's what our Lord does for us. Yes, he will bring his mercy and compassion to take on the points of pain and need in our lives. Believe you me, he will bring healing. But he will also bring new life when we raise the white flag in surrender to him, when we surrender our hearts and live to him. And our response to all of that will be the same as the crowd that was there that day. Look at verses 16 and 17. They all realized that they were in a place of holy mystery. When Louis talked about that, that was kind of our catchphrase for the rest of the... When we didn't understand what was going on, we just said, "Holy mystery." It's a place where God was at work among them. And notice what they did. Louis made a big deal about this. This is audacious worship. They were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful, calling out among themselves, "God is back," looking to the needs of his people. But then Luke adds this: the news of Jesus spread through all the country. Do you see what was going on? When that young man sat up, the crowd fell back in silence, and they worshiped God. But then some began to shriek. There was a universal rush of adrenaline. And here and there and back there, there were voices, perhaps even unbelieving voices, that began to praise God and noisily give thanks. Oh, and the boy's mother? There were still tears. But her wet eyes filled up with heavenly light and overwhelming joy as she embraced her only son. Friends, listen. Our Lord's compassion and our Lord's redeeming power are very real. And they are sufficient for every need. Jesus hears the pain of your voice. He hears your cry, and His heart goes out to you with deep compassion. He hurts with you, and He comes to help you. And when He does, when Jesus does come and ministers to us, our only response can be to fall back in silence and quietly worship what God is doing and who He is. And then we begin to give thanks for His work in our life. And then we do that with noise and celebration. At camp, we literally danced. Being ordained as a Baptist, I would have been kicked out of the church. But we were celebrating. We were giving thanks for what God has done. And then we were admonished to go back home and tell everyone what Jesus has done. That's what our students have done this morning. They have come to give public testimony to what God has done in their lives. That's what God wants from each of us. So, let's worship, let's give thanks, and let the good news of our Lord Jesus spread throughout Berkeley Springs, throughout Morgan County, and may God be lifted up and glorified. May we tell others what He has done for us. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Pray with me. Gracious God, we thank You for making us alive through faith in our Lord Jesus. We thank You for His resurrection power. We thank You for His redeeming power. We thank You for His deep, compassionate heart that comes to us in the midst of our need. We thank You for His grace that chooses to minister to us in that need. Father, perhaps there are some here in this room this morning that are experiencing deep sorrow. And so we invite You to come real close to them, touch their life, stop everything with that touch, and minister to them, we pray. Lord, others of us may be tired because we've been wandering. Our hearts are sick of being lost. So we ask for Your forgiveness and we ask that You would receive us, Your prodigal children. We're prodigal because we have wandered in a far country. We're prodigal because we have forgotten You. We're prodigal because we take Your blessings for granted. So Lord, as we purpose to come back to You, may we know that even now You are running to meet us. to place over our shoulders the robe of your love, to place on our finger the ring of your forgiveness, to press upon us the kiss of your divine love that knows no limit, a love which loved us while we were yet sinners, a love that brought our Lord Jesus to Calvary. Father, we thank you for that love. We thank you for making us alive. Thank you for restoration and for healing, for redemption. Thank you for being our Father and for the knowledge and the assurance and the confidence that we are your children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.